Usually when we talk about a company's tech stack, we think of it a lot like building a house. You pick your foundation, you choose your materials, and once it's built, it belongs to you. It feels solid, right? Like predictable.
Yeah, exactly. You pour the concrete, frame the walls, and you just assume the structure is permanent. I mean, it's infrastructure. You expect it to be there every single time you open the door.
Right. But imagine waking up one morning, walking up to that multi-million-dollar house you just built, and discovering the locks have been changed.
Oh, man.
And not by a hacker or, your landlord, but by a sudden overnight government decree that just instantly turned your entire foundation into a restricted zone. You can see your house, but you cannot enter it.
That is, I mean, that's the absolute definition of a corporate nightmare. And for a massive portion of the tech industry, that hypothetical scenario actually became a brutal reality this summer.
It really did. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are thrilled to have you with us as we extract the most vital insights from a frankly astonishing new briefing titled Z-Code and the Global Shift in AI Development Strategy. Our mission today is to understand how three massive seismic shifts in enterprise software are just colliding all at once.
Yeah, the convergence here is wild.
Right. We're looking at a vicious race to the bottom price war in AI, the sudden geopolitical balkanization of the entire global tech stack, and on top of that, the explosive boom in agentic coding tools, which is a market that's suddenly worth $10 billion.
And the crazy part is the catalyst driving all three of these shifts is just a single company, a Beijing-based company named ZAI, which used to be known as Zupu AI. They've just dropped a product ecosystem that is actively rewriting the economic and architectural rules of global tech.
The hook of this briefing is just wild to consider. ZAI just launched this software environment called Z-Code, and it's powered by their brand new GLM 5.2 model. The briefing details how this AI system matches the absolute top-tier Western models, costs up to 82% less to use, and get this, was built without a single American computer chip.
Yeah, zero American silicon.
And they dropped it right in the middle of a massive global software crisis.
The timing was incredibly surgical. I mean, they capitalized on a moment of unprecedented vulnerability for Western tech companies.
Now, before we get into the weeds of how this technology actually works, I want to set some ground rules for you, our listener. The sources we're unpacking today contain some heavily politically charged events. We're talking United States export controls and Chinese technology development.
Right, very sensitive stuff.
Right, exactly. So we want to be incredibly clear. We're not taking sides here or not endorsing any specific political viewpoints, foreign policies, or government actions from any nation. Our job is simply to impartially unpack the fascinating facts, the technical realities, and the timeline presented in the source material so that you are fully informed on a shift that is impacting the entire tech industry.
Yeah, the geopolitical tension provides the context, but the underlying leaps in software engineering and the hardware optimization, that's the real story we need to examine here.
Right. So before we look at what the Z-Code software actually does, we need to understand the inciting incident, because the briefing outlines an explosive three-week crisis that basically broke enterprise tech and, paved the way for Z.AI to step in. So take us back to June of 2026. What exactly happened?
Okay, so the entire industry was completely upended over the course of about 72 hours. On June 9th, Anthropic launched Fable 5.
Right, a huge deal.
Massive. This was their highly anticipated top-of-the-line frontier model. The excitement across the dev community was off the charts, and enterprise clients began integrating it into their production environments, like, immediately.
But that honeymoon phase was incredibly short-lived.
It lasted exactly 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. On June 12th, the U.S. government issued an emergency export control order. Citing national security concerns, they instantly suspended access to Fable 5, as well as the older Mythos 5 model, for all foreign nationals globally.
Globally.
Globally. It was a sweeping mandate. It applied whether those individuals were physically located inside or outside the United States. Even foreign national employees working directly for Anthropic were suddenly blocked from the systems.
I am just trying to wrap my head around the immediate fallout of a switch being flipped like that. If you're, I don't know, a hospital network in Europe or a logistics firm in South America relying on that API, what does that Tuesday actually look like?
It looks like a complete blackout. Enterprise clients across healthcare, global finance, critical infrastructure, they just found their core AI systems abruptly disabled.
Gone.
Gone. There was no transition period, no warning emails allowing them to migrate their workflows to a different system.
You read the briefing, and the panic is palpable. Companies were scrambling, pulling out their vendor contracts, pointing to their standard service level agreements, their SLAs, yelling at their reps saying, "Wait, you legally guaranteed us 99.9% uptime." How did these multi-million dollar contracts fail to protect these companies?
So an investigation included in our sources by Fifth Row found that almost all standard software as a service agreements, you know, procurement SLAs, they rely on these vague force majeure or compliance with law clauses.
Right.
And traditionally, force majeure protects a vendor if, say, a hurricane destroys a data center.
An act of God.
Exactly. But here, it offered absolutely zero protection against a regulatory kill switch. The vendors essentially said, hey, our hands are tied by federal law, leaving the enterprise clients holding the bag for completely broken applications.
Which brings me back to my opening analogy. You built your multi-million dollar factory on rented cloud land, and the landlord changed the locks by government decree. So what was the long-term damage to trust here? Because the ban was eventually lifted a few weeks later, right? On June 30th?
Yes, on June 30th.
Did the market just forgive and forget, or did this establish a new kind of fear?
Oh, it permanently altered the psychology of enterprise technology. It established this concept called sovereign access risk.
Sovereign access risk.
Right. The Fable 5 ban was a brutal wake-up call that, you know, evaluating an AI tool based on its benchmark scores or its developer experience is entirely secondary now. The new fundamental question chief technology officers are asking is simply, will this tool legally be allowed to function tomorrow? Yeah, sovereign access risk is the realization that a single government pen stroke can destroy your entire product architecture overnight.
And right on cue, on that exact same day, June 12th, as Western systems are going dark, ZAI drops their new model.
Yep. They release GLM 5.2, and crucially, they release it as an open source model under an MIT license.
Which means
there are absolutely zero usage restrictions for anyone who downloads it.
Okay, let's unpack this. If cloud models are suddenly viewed as a massive sovereign liability, the natural pivot for an enterprise is to pull everything in-house, right? To self-host their AI or find open source alternatives they can physically control. But is a model built outside the massive tech bubbles of Silicon Valley actually capable of replacing top-tier Western AI?
Well, the specs on GLM 5.2 suggest it absolutely is. It is a massive system. We're talking 744 billion parameters total.
Huge.
And it utilizes a mixture of experts' architecture, meaning out of those 744 billion parameters, only about 40 billion are actively firing during any given task.
Okay, for our listeners who might not be deep into AI architecture, could you explain the practical benefit of a mixture of expert system? Like, why not just use the whole brain all the time?
Think of it like a massive hospital. If you walk in with a broken arm, you don't need to consult the cardiologist, the neurologist, and the pediatric specialist all at the same time, right?
Wait, that would be overkill.
Exactly. You just need the orthopedic department. A mixture of experts model functions the exact same way. It analyzes your prompt, determines which specialized neural networks or experts are best suited to solve it, and only powers those up.
Oh, I see.
It saves an incredible amount of computing power and speeds up response times significantly, all while maintaining that massive overall knowledge base.
And the briefing also mentions a 1 million token context window, trained on 28.5 trillion tokens of data. Translating that into practical terms, what does a million token memory actually unlock for a developer?
So 1 million tokens is roughly equivalent to 750,000 words. In a coding environment, that means you're no longer just asking an AI to fix a single isolated function. You can literally upload an entire 10-year-old legacy code base, complete with all its dense documentation and manuals, into the AI's memory at once.
That's insane.
It is. It can hold the entire architecture of a company's software in its head while it helps you edit it.
But here is the detail that really stopped me in my tracks.
Mm.
The briefing explicitly states this model was trained entirely on Huawei Ascend 910B silicon. Zero US chips. No NVIDIA hardware whatsoever.
And that is the detail that shatters a very deeply held assumption in the tech world. The prevailing theory was always that without American chips, specifically NVIDIA's high-end GPUs, a company could not successfully train a true frontier model. The computing bottlenecks would just be too severe.
Right.
But GLM 5.2 proves that the hardware monopoly is bypassable.
And it's not just bypassable. It seems to be shockingly cost-effective. Emad Mostak, the founder of Stability AI, is quoted in the briefing estimating the total training cost for GLM 5.2 at just $25 million. And I have to push back on that number.
It sounds impossible.
Right. Western AI giants are spending hundreds of millions, sometimes billions, to train their top models. If a frontier model can be trained for just $25 million, completely bypassing U.S. hardware, doesn't that mean the protective financial moat for Western AI is completely evaporating? How is that math even possible?
The math works because of how they allocated their resources. Mostock noted that roughly 80% of that $25 million was actually spent on post-training.
Okay.
So instead of brute forcing the initial training with endless compute power, which requires massive clusters of expensive NVIDIA chips, they trained a solid foundational model on the Huawei silicon and then spent the vast majority of their budget on highly specialized algorithmic refinement and human feedback.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they essentially engineered their way out of a hardware deficit.
And the benchmark scores proved the strategy worked. On the Frontier SWE benchmark, which tests an AI's ability to complete multi-hour autonomous engineering projects, how did GLM 5.2 stack up against the heavyweights?
It scored an 81.3%.
Okay.
And to put that into perspective, Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.8 scored an 82.3%.
Just 1%.
Exactly. So it's just one percentage point behind the absolute bleeding edge. Furthermore, it actually beat OpenAI's GPT 5.5, which scored an 80.7%.
It's performing at total parity. But the briefing makes it clear that the benchmark score isn't the actual mechanism of disruption here. The real disruption is the API pricing.
Absolutely. ZAI is charging developers 1.4 ISA per million input tokens and $4.40 for output tokens.
Wow.
Yeah, when you compare that to the API cost for a model like Claude Opus 4.8, you're looking at an 82% discount.
An 82% discount for 99% of the performance.
It is a fundamental economic reshaping of the market. Intelligence at this high a tier is rapidly becoming a cheap commodity.
But, you know, having raw, cheap model power sitting on a server is only half the battle. It's useless if developers don't have a functional, intuitive interface to actually harness it. Which brings us to the software vehicle Z.AI built to drive this engine. On July 2, 2026, they officially launched Z-Code.
Right, and Z-Code is where this narrative shifts from a story about an impressive AI model to a story about a highly disruptive enterprise software product.
Because the briefing emphasizes that Z-Code is fundamentally different from traditional IDEs. For those listening, an IDE integrated development environment is simply the software application where coders write and test their software. And traditionally, these platforms just bolt an AI chat window onto the sidebar. It acts like a glorified autocomplete.
Yes.
But Z-Code is described as agent-first. What does an agent-first workflow actually look like in practice?
An agent-first design is built for long-horizon tasks. So in a traditional setup, a developer asks the AI in the sidebar to write a specific function. They copy that code, paste it into their file, and test it. Z-Code completely removes the developer from the middle of that loop.
Really?
Yeah. The user simply describes an overarching outcome they want to achieve. The Z-Code agent then autonomously plans the work across multiple files, writes the code, runs its own error checks, reviews its own progress, and iterates on mistakes. And it can do this often over the course of several hours.
And because Z.AI built both the underlying GLM 5.2 model and the Z-Code environment, there is no manual endpoint configuration required by the user, right? It's seamlessly wired together from the moment you install it.
Exactly. Deep first-party integration means the AI doesn't have to guess how the coding environment works. It is native to it.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The briefing highlights a specific feature within Z-Code called remote control. And reading about this, it genuinely feels like a paradigm shift in how human beings interact with software.
Oh, it is. The remote control feature is a massive differentiator, particularly because it deeply integrates with messaging apps that dominate the Asian market, but the workflow implications are completely universal.
Right, so the AI goes from being a really smart spell checker living on your desktop monitor to acting like a literal junior developer that you manage. Like with Z-Code, a developer can assign the agent a complex, multi-hour refactoring task. They can then physically leave their computer, go get a coffee or get lunch, and steer the continuous agent from their phone using WeChat, Fishu, or Telegram.
It's wild.
The heavy lifting continues in the background on their desktop, and the AI simply texts them updates or asks for permission to proceed when it hits a roadblock.
You're no longer manually coding line by line. You are managing a digital employee asynchronously. And importantly, ZAI recognized that developers are deeply pragmatic. They don't want to be locked into a single AI brain if another one happens to be better at a specific language.
Right.
So Z-Code natively supports multi-model switching. Alongside their own GLM 5.2, a developer can easily route specific tasks to Claude Code, Codex, Gemini, or OpenCode right within that same interface.
Because no single model, wins every single task perfectly. It's a very smart ecosystem play. So they built a system that lets a developer text an AI from a coffee shop, powered by a model that rivals the best in the world. But they're entering a brutal financial battlefield here. How does Z.AI actually plan to steal market share from entrenched, multi-billion dollar Western incumbents like Microsoft, Google, and Anthropic?
To understand their strategy, you have to look at the sheer scale of the market they're attacking. Gartner estimates the enterprise AI coding agents market is currently sitting at around $9.8 to $11.0 billion.
That is massive.
It is. And Gartner noted a critical shift. The frontier model builders, you know, the labs making the actual AI brains, are now moving down the stack to directly attack the application layer vendors. The labs want to own the interface, too.
And the competition is filled with heavyweights. I mean, you have Cursor, which is sitting at roughly $2 billion in annual recurring revenue. You have Anthropic's Claude Code, generating about $2.5 billion. Google just relaunched Antigravity 2.0, and Cognition pushed out Devon Desktop. These are massive, entrenched players.
So what exactly is Z.AI's financial playbook here?
Their playbook is aggressive commoditization. First, they're giving the Z-Code software environment away completely for free.
Wow, free.
It costs absolutely nothing to download the IDE. Their revenue is driven entirely by subscriptions to the GLM coding plan, which is what powers the AI agent inside the software.
And looking at these exact pricing tiers, it's pretty easy to see why the market is reacting. Their light plan is $16.20 a month. The pro plan is $64.80. And the unlimited max plan is $144 a month. Compare that to Cursor, which starts at $20 and scales up to $200. Or Claude Code, which ranges from $20 to over $1,200 a month for heavy enterprise usage.
That's not even close.
No. Z.AI is severely undercutting the entire pricing structure of the industry. And the financial markets reacted violently to this aggressive undercutting. On June 22nd, Z.AI's market cap surged 42% in a single day of trading.
42%?
In one day. It pushed their valuation past $128 billion, or roughly 1 trillion Hong Kong dollars. JP Morgan immediately stepped in and projected a 534% revenue surge for the company by the end of 2026.
That is unbelievable. But looking at this from a structural level, I do have a major question about their business model. Z.AI controlled the underlying model with GLM 5.2. They control the subscription layer with the GLM coding plan. And they control the interface with Z-Code. It is a completely vertically integrated stack.
Yes, it is.
If an enterprise adopts this to escape the chaos of U.S. export bans, aren't they just replacing American vendor lock-in with Chinese vendor lock-in? Aren't they trading one sovereign access risk for another just with a different flag?
And that is the central structural paradox of this entire shift.
Yeah.
If an enterprise relies purely on Z.AI's cloud-hosted API, yes, they are absolutely subject to Chinese law, data sovereignty regulations, and any potential future geopolitical friction. However, this is exactly where the open source nature of GLM 5.2 and the architectural design of Z-Code provide an escape hatch that closed Western systems just do not have.
Which brings us perfectly to the practical application for you, the listener. With export bans wiping out infrastructure overnight, insane price wars, and a completely balkanized global tech stack, how does an enterprise or even a solo developer actually survive this multi-model chaos?
So the briefing includes a highly pragmatic survival guide compiled by the Tekken editorial team. Their primary recommendation is to fundamentally rethink how you build applications. They advise enterprises to build multi-model architectures.
Meaning, do not hardwire your entire product to a single AI provider's API.
Precisely. You need to implement what is called an orchestration proxy. In simple terms, this is a layer of software that sits between your application and the AI models. It acts like a sophisticated traffic cop.
Okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah, so if the US government suddenly bans Anthropic in your region, or if OpenAI servers crash, the proxy detects the failure and instantly, dynamically writes the query to a fallback model like Gemini or a local GLM 5.2 without losing the context of the task.
So the end user never even experiences a glitch.
Exactly.
That prevents the blackout scenario we saw in June. And their second recommendation leans directly into utilizing what Z.AI has released. Evaluate open weight models. They specifically name models like Z.AI's GLN 5.2, Minimax M3, Qwen 3.7 Max, and DeepSeek V4 Pro.
And this is how you solve that vendor lock-in paradox we discussed a moment ago. Z-Code is built with a BYO architecture, bring your own key. Because GLM 5.2 is licensed under MIT, a company does not have to use Z.AI's cloud servers. They can legally download the massive open source model weights, host them entirely on their own internal company servers, and point the Z-code application at their local network.
So what does this all mean in terms of security?
It means that by self-hosting, a company achieves true data sovereignty. They eliminate the U.S. export risks because they already possess the weights on their own hard drives. And they eliminate the Chinese data privacy concerns because their proprietary code and internal data never once transmit over the open internet to a foreign server.
Okay, I have to push back on the reality of that, though. Self-hosting a 744 billion parameter model sounds like a perfect utopia for security in a white paper. But in practical terms, isn't that an absolute infrastructure nightmare? I mean, you're talking about massive, incredibly expensive server racks and highly specialized DevOps engineers just to keep the AI running. Only a massive tech giant can actually afford to maintain something like that, right?
It is undeniably resource intensive. It requires serious capital expenditure on local hardware and significant maintenance expertise. But the Tekken Guide emphasizes that you have to weigh that infrastructure cost against the cost of a regulatory kill switch.
Oh, I see.
For enterprise critical workflows, the kind of systems where a complete shutdown means losing millions of dollars a day or compromising critical infrastructure, the cost of buying and maintaining those local servers suddenly looks like a very reasonable insurance policy to guarantee uptime.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. It's the literal cost of sovereignty over your own tools. The briefing also notes that companies have to heavily assess compliance risk and calculate real costs. They point out a detail about Western AI that often goes unnoticed. U.S. companies like Anthropic actually retain user prompts and AI completions for at least 30 days on their servers.
And that 30-day retention policy can be a total deal breaker for highly regulated industries. If a hospital uses a cloud-based AI to help parse patient data, or a financial firm uses it to refactor proprietary trading algorithms, handing that sensitive information over to a third-party server for a month could completely violate HIPAA compliance or financial regulations.
Which means the sticker price of the API is only a fraction of the actual cost. You have to factor in the legal risks, the compliance overhead, and the engineering cost of building those fallback proxies.
Exactly.
Well, we have covered incredible ground today. To summarize the core narrative of this deep dive, the era of blind dependence on a single AI vendor is officially dead. The Fable 5 export crisis in June proved that standard legal contracts cannot protect your tech stack from geopolitical realities. But out of that chaos, Z-Code and GLM 5.2 have proven that top-tier AI innovation is absolutely no longer a Western monopoly. They delivered a highly capable, non-US technology stack that rivals the best in the world at a fraction of the cost.
The technological leap demonstrated by ZAI is undeniable, even as the global politics surrounding it remain incredibly complex. For developers and enterprises, diversity in your toolset, strict data sovereignty, and infrastructural resilience are no longer just industry buzzwords. I mean, they are the new baseline requirements for basic technological survival.
Absolutely. You cannot rent the land your digital factory is built on anymore. You have to own the foundation.
Right. And if I can leave you with one final thought, it ties directly back to that factory metaphor. We just watched a government treat cloud-based AI as critical national infrastructure, basically changing the locks overnight. Right now, the escape hatch for the tech industry is open source models like GLM 5.2, where you can freely download the blueprints and build your own internal factory.
Yeah.
But this raises an incredibly ominous question. If AI models are rapidly becoming this vital to global power and national security, how long until governments start viewing open source model weights themselves as highly classified state secrets? How long until the window on free, downloadable frontier AI closes forever?
Wow. That is a heavy, fascinating thought to leave on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning your tech stack, keep exploring, and we'll see you next time.